Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com station.
So I'd say it'll be a while before we're back to Russia, but based on that treason summit that I saw happen in Helsinki today, we should all probably start eating caviar and learning that alphabet. My friends, I don't want to go Fiesta Politico on you, but today, I've never seen a lower point in foreign policy than what I saw today. That was the most disgraceful moment in presidential history. And look, if you were with him before today, whatever reason, I don't even care. If you're with him after today, you're a treasonous SOB yourself. That was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I watched the president of the United States tell Vladimir Putin that he was his boyfriend today and that he's breaking up with the FBI. It was disgraceful. I know that I'm not supposed to get into these sorts of things, but I can't be me without telling you what's really on my mind. And what happened today is an abortion of logic. You must abort your logic to agree with what happened today.
I wonder if it will change some people's minds after seeing what happened today. I'm curious.
The president of the United States declared the European Union a bigger enemy to the United States than Russia. That's just I don't know what to tell you, folks. It's just staggering that we're at this point in time. At least we have the 2022 FIFA World Cup odds to get us through these moments.
We can put the Russian World Cup behind us.
And if you were really, you know, offended by what happened today in Helsinki, did you see the Mark Canha bat flip? Oh.
We need more of that.
We do need more bat flips. We need more fun. Baseball has to be the sport that stops saying, hey, everyone who plays our sport, have less fun. We need you to have less fun. We need you to be less joyful. We need you to use less emotion when you come to work. And by the way, you got to be worried about emotion when you do get to work. And that is why today I brought a very important tome. I'm not even kidding. At around 6:30 tonight, we're going to have etiquette lessons. I have the Emily Post Book of Etiquette right here. It's a big one.
It's so thick. My favorite, though, is whenever you talk about it, you absolutely drop it on the table.
Yeah. You need etiquette? There you go. Here's your etiquette.
That's a lot of etiquette.
Here you go, you animals. Here's your etiquette.
I'm looking forward to 6:30, Damon.
Your etiquette lessons, you pigs. 6:30 tonight. Be there. When can you go with the European double kiss cheek greeting? Not in the office.
I've always wanted to know that.
Takes self-confidence to pull that off. Let's say you were uncomfortable in that moment. You wanted to cut it off. There's a way to do it.
There's a proper way.
Right there.
I'm going to break something.
I'm going to break this mouse if I drop it on it.
Just what inspired you to grab the book?
I don't know. I never even noticed it on my wife's bookshelf. She has this book of etiquette that was given to her as like a joke graduation gift by her parents.
How many pages is that? I mean, it is so thick.
It's ridiculous. Not including including the index, we're looking at 873 pages.
873 pages, how we can be better people.
873 pages to class it up right here. We're going to class it up a little bit later on today.
We could use some of that.
We could absolutely use some of this.
Is this before or after the Amber Rose segment? I'm just wondering.
It'll be after the Amber Rose segment.
I'm just wondering.
We're going to get all of our current slut updates out of the way, and then we're going to go deep, deep into etiquette.
Okay.
I'm just using the word she uses to
she
describe
does.
Herself.
She has a whole march.
She has a
t-shirt. She has a whole thing around that. She was bullied because of some of her choices, and yeah. No, get them. Go Amber.
There you go. So we're going to have that for you a little bit later on. Can we talk about bad ideas?
Yes.
I want to talk about bad ideas because we had an NBA bad idea happen. Have you seen the footage between Tyler Ulis, a bunch of guys in some Vegas hotel or elevator, and then Devin Booker comes out of nowhere? It's not that salacious or spicy of a video. It's not going to get the 40 million hits that I'm sure TMZ wanted. But what we have is yet another example of a major North American athlete failing to do the simple risk-reward math that you have to be conscious of. Every single night you go out, I really wasn't even aware of all this happening until Nick, who, by the way, is in for Albie today. Sad news. Albie lost his grandmother over the weekend. He had to go to a funeral. So Albie's going to be out a couple of days. He is going to be back a little bit later on. Meanwhile, Nick is in this week, filling in for Albie, producing the show, getting us up and on the air. And he showed me this video on TMZ. And basically what you have is current free agent Tyler Ulis, who just got cut by the Phoenix Suns, getting into a fight with three anonymous guys in an elevator.
So is he by himself?
Wait, is this from May of 2017? So this is old footage?
I think it's footage that just surfaced. It happened a year ago, but it's footage that just came out. We're just seeing it for the first time.
Then it changes the way that I'm going to pitch this segment, because the risk reward that Devin Booker math might have been doing a year ago still shouldn't lead you out of your bedroom to go defend anybody or fight for anything at 3 a.m. But he's even got more to worry and lose now. So I'm glad that this isn't current. But basically, Ulis was holding the elevator door open for one of his friends, and there were other guys who showed up and wanted to take the elevator. And so instead of, again, if he had the book of etiquette,
you'd know what to do.
If he had the big book of etiquette, he would have known what to do. He would have given up that carriage.
For the good of humanity.
Yes, he would have given up the elevator for the other guys who are ready to go on their journey. You're not ready to go. You're still waiting for somebody. Come on, man. Give it up. Give up the goat. He didn't. So the other guys, because Tyler Ulis is no big cuts an imposing NBA figure. He's like a guy. So like these three civilians, these three dudes, just like totally take him out.
Oh, wow. Well, he was by himself.
He was by himself.
So outnumbered.
I mean, they don't take him out to the point of like, oh, that's a physical beating of the first degree. But they, you know, basically controlled him, got him off the elevator, and then took it.
And took the elevator. Okay.
And then Ulis obviously got on the phone and was like, hey, Devin Booker, we got to go kick some ass. Because all of a sudden, Devin Booker is putting on the don't identify me mask. Like he's tying a handkerchief around his own face. Which you probably shouldn't do when you're out in the hallway with footage running. You need to do that in the bedroom before you don't come on out. Like, your mask doesn't work, Batman, if you put it on halfway through the fight.
Wow.
You need to show up wearing the mask, Dev. Again, etiquette.
You'd know that.
Would have told you that.
So we call this... So Devin Booker then comes down afterwards, and then they all get in a fight?
Not really, because Booker didn't want to scrap with anybody. He's more of like a 6'6 visual deterrent than he is. They all, like, left the wherever they were and all went out into the streets, and that's the last we caught of all of them on camera. No one knows the rest of the story. No, I don't think there were any arrests.
No arrests.
This is
okay.
All coming out in footage today. We'll ask my friend Robert Latall about it a little bit later on this afternoon. We do have the Bay Bridge series in the books before we get to the All-Star game, which will be tomorrow. Tonight's the Home Run Derby. And then on Friday, guess what? Boys, girls, we're right back at it. Baseball second half is officially going to start. We're looking forward to that. It really was a great day at the ballpark yesterday. Beautiful day on Sunday. Fun weekend. It was a fun weekend.
It was.
Gianna, on Friday night, went out to AT&T Park and conducted a series of what? Trivia questions? Interviews?
I did. It was the Bay Bridge series, Battle of the A's and Giants. So I did my own little Battle of the Bay Bridge Brains and did a whole A's versus Giants fans on, you know, trivia of their favorite teams.
Did you ask the same questions to both fan bases?
Yes, very similar questions to both fan bases. Questions that, you know, good ones. Yes, very similar questions.
So they were the kind of questions that you had to be a diehard fan to sit down and study your sports page every day to be able to answer? Is this just like casual information?
I would say it started off as casual, then it got a little bit more, it got a little harder as the questions progressed.
Right.
So, you know, kind of gauge their level of fandom and interest and information and knowledge. And I'm going to say, Ace fans, y'all crushed it.
We will find out a little bit more about the lines of questions that you used. And like you said, A's fans ran away with the knowledge and Giants fans came out looking a little soft in the middle.
I had some good Giants fans, I will say that. But there was a few that it was slightly questionable about why they were
highly questionable.
Yeah.
All right.
But it was fun. It's a video. It'll be up on my Xfinity from the sidelines later.
That tonight. Sounds an awful lot like a social media cross promotion, which, by the way, Weezer apparently got right. And we'll have all that for you on a Monday where we're just sort of laying back and basking in all of it. We got an awful lot of show this week. We're looking forward to having an awful lot of fun. I've got unbelievable tickets that I'm going to be giving away in a little bit more than an hour from now. Not right now. A little bit more than an hour from now. We got on-field passes for a little Bay Bridge action when the series shifts over to Oakland. So be on the news listening for that. That's all coming up. And right now, it's your chance to win $1,000. All you got to do is pay attention to this.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
So Gianna on Friday night was over at AT&T Park, and she gave a little pop quiz to anyone who was nice enough to stop and talk to her. Video coming out, using social media to share it all with you, but we have results.
Well, A's fans did better than Giants fans.
A lot better?
I mean, a significant amount better. There's going to be a little editing because I want it to be fun for both sides. But yes, A's fans crushed it. You did. You crushed it.
I don't want any gentle to Giants fans editing.
Well,
they get enough things catered to them.
Yes, but I want to have the, you know, there were some really fun fans. And they had some really fun answers. So I want to use the fun stuff on the video.
Sure. Were they wrong, though?
Yeah, of course. Some of the questions were wrong. I mean, but little questions like this, like I remember asked a Giants fan who the manager was of the Giants, and they had no idea.
Ron Wotus.
No. Bruce
Come
Bochy.
On, people.
But then I had, you know, one Giants fan who knew it was Bruce Bochy. Then the follow-up was, you know.
Oh, did one Giants fan know it was Bruce Bochy?
Yes, a couple more,
All right,
and
good.
And then the follow-up was, you know, who did he manage before the Giants? Padres. For how many years? 12. I mean, there was a couple that were, it was pretty impressive, but you know, there was a few questions like, what's the name of the mascot?
Seriously?
Seriously. For the most part, though, it was a lot of fun. Both fans were really, really, really fun from both sides. But A's fans, as far as trivia and knowledge of their team, crushed it.
Look, your ears. The facts of the
Elena,
matter.
Elena, our resident A's fan.
Of course she is.
So
and let's just be completely honest. It takes zero effort to be a San Francisco Giants fan. Like, all that's got to happen is you roll out of bed and the sun comes up. It's really easy to be a fan of a team that just won 3 World Series, spends a ton of money, whether they spend it wrong or not. The bandwagon is full of people who just love to sit in a beautiful ballpark.
And they have one. They've got a gorgeous ballpark.
Exactly. Before you make fun of a full bandwagon, let me be the first to make fun of an empty bandwagon. You know, I would rather be in a ballpark with a whole bunch of know-nothings than have 12 people who think they know everything about baseball.
Well, and Giants fans were incredibly enthusiastic. I mean, don't get me wrong. They were great. But as far as, like, you know, general knowledge of their team, questionable at times.
Whole bunch of sound and fury symbolizing nothing.
Yeah, I mean, and I would say there were the fans that were just there to have a good time and enjoy the game. And then there was the fans who were obviously super into, you know, the Giants are winning the Bay Bridge Series or the A's are winning the Bay Bridge Series.
It ain't easy being an A's fan. You got to put in a lot of work. You got to put in a lot of
effort.
They
do. They do. They showed up and they know their stuff.
You know, I was reading a thread by a couple people on Twitter, and I don't even know who to credit this or where I even really saw it. But, like, there was also something that Rick Tittle said in the past where he said it really bothers him that people who show up here, you know, you moved to the Bay Area 5 minutes ago and you're already telling East Bay jokes. Like, screw you, buddy. You're new here, too. And there is a faction of Giants fans that are completely obnoxious when it comes to having zero sympathy for what the A's are going through, or almost holding A's fans accountable for the actions of their ownership. Like, if you're a fan, you're nothing but along for the ride. You can't do anything about it. The only thing you really can do, the only power you have as a fan, is to continue your fandom or cut it off, choke it off. That's the only power you really have. You'll continue to give them your interest or business, or you won't. The fact that A's fans continue to show up with their interest and business is a blessing to a team like that, that I don't even think the team really takes. I just think they take their fans for granted so much. How about this? If you did anything other than take whatever fans you have for granted, you'd show them something.
Mm-hmm.
You'd deliver a little something back to them.
You'd reciprocate the love. You'd give back.
Reciprocating love. It's in the etiquette book. From the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, says, Damon, I wouldn't trade being an A's fan for anything. Don't care how empty our little dump is. I think I would feel the same way to a point, but then I would want to start holding people accountable. And to me, the only people that you hold accountable in sports are the rich people who claim to be the owners of it all. Mm. That's who you really hold accountable. Like, it's really, really, really hard to be a professional athlete. It is, man. Not only do you have to rise above the competition just to earn your spot on the team, but then you have to be able to buzzsaw through the best of the best in the world playing the same game that you're playing. It's hard. It's really hard to be a very good professional athlete. It is so easy to be an owner. It takes no skill at all. It only takes money and the ability to get the hell out of the way of progress. That's all it takes. Can you sign a check? Congratulations. You too can be an owner.
I guess, though, if you're going to own something, don't you want it to be the best it can be? Like, anything you do, you should put your best foot forward, right? I mean, and if you have that kind of money to make a difference, why don't you? Like, I don't understand. Like, I would never want to have something that's just meh. Like, I would want it to be the best it could possibly be.
Why are you going to buy a yacht if you can't afford the slip?
Yeah, it'd be pointless.
To dock it in every day. What's the point? Why'd you do it? Who are you trying to impress? Because you're not impressing me or any of your own rich friends. I mean, I guess the fact that you have the rare ticket that is the, well, I own a major league franchise. It's amazing. Those are hard things to come by.
Yeah.
They're very precious resources. So precious that you'd think that if you were actually given access to one, you wouldn't squander it. You know what I'm going to do? Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and have one of the smartest baseball minds in the world, in Billy Beane, come up with all these ideas, and then I'm going to give him no dollars to execute any of them. Be like, Billy, you got some great ideas here, but unfortunately your budget is Groupon, so good luck with that. Draft well and cross your fingers.
Good luck.
Meanwhile, you got a bizarro baseball team here in San Francisco. Giants got somebody hurt every single day over the last two seasons. They pay a ton of veterans a ton of money to underperform. The entire season is now hinged on no names and young guys coming through. The biggest surprise is the one you gave up on after 2016. If Pablo Sandoval weren't on this team, where would you be? You got all these bridge guys in your bullpen that are pretty impressive, but you can't even figure out who your closer is, even though you gave somebody $62 million to do just that. I don't know what drives me more mad. Spending money unwisely or just not spending money? .888-957-9570 is the number. Jake is in Alameda. How you doing, Jake?
Good. Hey, great show, Damon.
How you?
You know, Mr. Bruce. You know when I met. You know I met Mr. The owner of the A's, and you know he owns all the Fairmonts, and he owns the Gap, so he's got a lot of money. And he was at the bar, and he was coughing. He needed some water. So I'm thinking to myself, man, you know this guy's probably what he owns the hotel, he owns the bar, he could. You know, snap his fingers and have the bartender come over and give him a Evian or a whatever you want, because even water in the hotel bar is like $9, something to myself, man. But he's got so much money. What does he want? Tap water. He's going to tap water. I'm thinking to myself, and I said, do you need some water? Do you need a, you know, a bottle of water or something? He's like, no, I'm okay. So here's a guy who has almost $4 or $5 billion, owns the hotel, owns the bar, has a pocket full of cash. He still wants some tap water. Here I am over. I'm staying in his hotel. I wouldn't drink the tap water if you paid me.
Jay,
you know what I mean?
I got to be honest with you. I think I could be worth $700 billion. I'm going tap water myself. I'm not a bottled water bougie guy. Never have been. Never will be. I'm good with tap. I'm good with tap anywhere but in Phoenix. Their water sucks. Go bottled water when it's spring training. Anywhere else in America, pretty good.
Yeah, you're probably pretty safe here.
I've even consumed, albeit unwillingly and kind of in an emergency situation, I've drank Vegas bathroom tap water.
And look, you live to tell.
And I'm still here. I'm still here. Still here to tell the story about that night I needed that Vegas tap.
That must have been an interesting night.
Needed it. So I don't have a problem with a guy wanting tap water. What I have a problem is a guy who never worked for a penny he earned or owned. He never earned a penny that he's been given. Like, you were born ridiculously wealthy, and all you got to do to be beloved is to turn around and throw your best effort into building a stadium that will create the revenue that's so desperately needed to make you a relevant major league franchise. And he watched with a pair of binoculars the Giants lay down the blueprint, how it's done, and yet he still has ignored it all. I don't understand it. I do not understand it. And here they are. You know, they're what, 13 games over 500. Like, it's supposed to, at some point, you want to turn the page. There is no amount of success that doesn't come with an asterisk about this franchise. Like, everyone thinks, oh, Barry Bonds, that's the asterisk guy? Nah, really, the A's are the asterisk franchise. Like, what might have been, what could have been, what wasn't, and what is. Hey, Damon, you wouldn't drink Flint, Michigan tap water. That is correct.
That's true. That's actually a very sad story.
That is a very, very sad story.
That's in the schools there, and that's scary.
Nice job. It's Trump state, by the way. 888-957-9570. We got a ton to get into today. We're about to get into a little home run derby. We've got the channel on. Let's see what happens tonight. I see there's an awful lot of pomp and circumstance going out on that field right now at the All-Star game. Looks like the place is packed. Pack, 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 pack. I guess we get to go have a home run derby without that.
Have you been to an All-Star game?
Yeah.
Which one?
2007, right here.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, I bet.
It was really cool. Ichiro had that inside the park home run.
Nice. Fun.
Well, it was cool. It was great. You know who sat? So when there's that much media in town for like a World Series or an All-Star game, they start pushing media up around the foul pole in left field, and you can see that all those upper deck seats that are around the left field foul pole are turned into an auxiliary
media section.
So I was sitting there for the All-Star game in 2007, and in front of that section, there is still a line of seats that are right on the you know, you're sitting there. You're on the edge of the balcony. That's still a pretty good seat. You know who I saw? And I was like, that's pretty cool, because this guy's got money to sit wherever he wants, but he's just here with his kid to enjoy the All-Star game, and he just wants to take it in like a fan, didn't need to be bougie about his seat. The guy who was in the show The West Wing, and he also played the guy who Adam Sandler goes up against at the end of Happy Madison, Bradley Whitford, I believe is the name of the actor. Bradley Whitford.
Okay, yeah, Bradley Whitford.
Yeah. He was just sitting there at the All-Star game with his kid, way the hell up in the third deck, right in front of the aux box. And I was walking past him. I'm like, what are you doing here? It's like, I'm just enjoying baseball.
That's cool.
That's a nice, cool thing to do. And you, too, will be able to enjoy a little bit of baseball, I guess, this Saturday on the top of Mount Davis, because the A's, they can't figure out a stadium solution, but they'll give you $2 nachos this Saturday on top of Mount Davis to try to make it up to you. I want the A's to behave in a way that doesn't make me think that the ultimate game plan is we're moving to Portland. And oh, by the way, that brings me back to what Rick Tittle was saying one time. One of the things I saw that happened at AT&T Park, and shame on you Giants fans if you were among this group of Giants fans. Look, you can go ahead and drop the let's go Giants, let's go Oakland, all over you want. When you start chanting let's go Portland, you're just being a jackass.
Yeah.
Like, if the A's moved to Portland, it wouldn't be because their fans had anything to do with that. It's just because they've squandered all of their opportunities to be something right here. And I don't understand how you can have a team that interesting, that young, that cool year in, year out, and not want to invest more in them, not give them the proper home, not give them a real, real, real chance to compete. Damon, is that guy Shooter McGavin? No, it wasn't. That's not Shooter McGavin. Bradley Whitford's another guy. Seth Everett's one of our good friends. He's a sports broadcaster, radio, TV guy. You can hear him on Sports with Friends and the Hall of Justice podcast. He likes a little comic book superhero every now and then. Who will be the superhero at the Home Run Derby tonight? We always like to check in, and I feel like we've been able to talk to Seth at the past couple Home Run Derbies because he's always there. We got a little bit of a tradition here, don't we, Seth? I remember doing this like two or three times. We talked to you the night of the Home Run Derby. How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, that's right. We started this, I think, in 2013 at Citi Field. I know I talked to you last year in Miami, and happy to be on with you anytime. I just wish you'd call during the regular season, not just the All-Star game.
Well, here's the deal. The regular season really didn't even start until this weekend because we had Warriors bringing us right up basically to the Bay Bridge series, which is when a lot of people started leaning forward, and people leaning forward have looked into this Bay Bridge series and have seen something interesting for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I understand that. And I think this is a great commercial for the sport. You know, I'm on record as saying that. But they're not immune to the things that are plaguing this sport. This sport's having a real rough go, in my opinion, and there have been some really scary numbers, if you want to discuss them, that just really show a sport that I think is on the border of a crisis. And I think that, you know, as much as we are celebrating home runs tonight, I think home runs are one of the problems with baseball. And I think that at the media availability, anytime I walked up to a player, and I probably did this a dozen times, and heard a conversation, you know, to get ready to do my own interview, you know how these things go. They're talking to some other reporter. It's about the same thing, pace of play, strikeouts, all those things. And it's scary because it seems like there are going to be 100 different articles from major publications tomorrow about the same thing. And it's the stuff that baseball doesn't want to talk about.
Well, and I just look at where baseball's efforts are focused right now, or its attention is focused, and it seems to be focused on the wrong thing, like pace of play. I don't care about that. I've never heard anyone say, I got to get out of here faster this afternoon. This is ridiculous. I think baseball,
that's not it, though.
I think baseball needs to go ahead and allow people to share their videos online. People need to be able to make fan tribute videos. People need to watch a game, see a guy flip a bat and go, oh, that was fun, and not see him get code redded the next afternoon.
I know. And look, I don't want to go too under the hood and, you know, not talk to our audience here, but you know, that's a BAM thing. That's a Baseball Advanced Media is trying to own everything, and that's not what – the NBA doesn't have, you know, a BAM. So that's why they have no problem with Instagram and Twitter and all those other, you know, organizations. The problem for me – and I'll just give you two quick statistics that will scare you. Baseball has 512 more strikeouts than hits this season.
Wow.
For the first time in baseball history. The other number, and this is from Jason Stark, so I stole this one, but Jason Stark did this on Memorial Day. If you projected the rest of this season saying that it's kept the current pace that it's under now, baseball will have 10,000 less balls hit in play than 2009. So, Damon, we're not talking about 1985. This is not
baseball was better in the 60s. This isn't the old man saying, get off my lawn. This is a sport that has changed dramatically. I did a podcast with Trevor Story today, and he talked about how hard it is to focus on defense because there's so much standing around. And there's so much waiting for these 8, 9, 10 of pitch at bat that would result in walks, strikeouts, or home runs. We've lost defense. We've lost base running. And, Damon, I know what kind of a baseball fan you are, and you know what kind of a fan I have been. But I have a major issue with this sport, and I don't understand how they get out of it. And I would say this. I have talked to a lot of media members. If you could take over for one commissioner, forget the money, take the money out of it, would you rather have Roger Goodell's problems or Rob Manfred's problems? Hands down, you would take Goodell's. And the reason is because outside of concussions, which I don't have an answer for, the NFL's problems are mostly fixable, whereas baseball's problems, no one has a solution.
Right. A little bit more tact, a little bit more diplomacy, a little bit more PR heads up, and the NFL has fixed an awful lot of its problems. Baseball is sort of going the way of the dodo. I was talking about this in the press box this weekend that, you know, just look around. I was looking around the Bay Bridge series, and I got to tell you, it was a lot of older people who had seemingly drugged their almost reluctant to be their kids to the ballpark.
Well, you know, to me, it has to do with the fact, and I like to compare the NBA because, you know, when we talk about the NBA, we talk about the personalities and how the personalities have done a great job of becoming, in essence, reality show characters, and that sports radio and television and blogs and Twitter have benefited from it. And the fact of the matter is if I walk around this ballpark, everybody knows the name Draymond. Forget LeBron. They know the name Draymond. If you go up to a player and say, who's Draymond? Every person in this building just knows he plays basketball. If you ask the same question about Mike Trout, who is the best player in the sport, 50% of the people here do not know who that is.
Unbelievable. Seth Everett talking about what is wrong with baseball. Tonight, they're going to try to put on display what is right about baseball. What do you think of this home run derby field? What, we got Aguilar, we got Baez, we got Bregman, Freeman, Harper, Schwarber, Hoskins, Muncy. Who else am I missing? I think I got them all there.
Kenny Skywalker in this?
So what do you think is happening tonight?
I just think it'll be a competition. It'll be fun. You know, I always say this is the consolation prize for the All-Star Game. If you asked every person that has tickets tonight, what was the target when you were trying to buy tickets? People either bought the whole group, or they didn't win the lottery to get the All-Star Game ticket. So this is the consolation prize. I've often said that about this day, and I think that's the reason why. It'll continually be reinvented, but it'll never go away. And what I have challenged, and I've said a big thing that should happen, is they should play the futures game in the afternoon. Play it when there's nothing else going on in baseball. Put it on your fancy MLB network, and let's showcase the kids that are going to make the future. Instead, they played that thing at 3 o'clock yesterday on the East Coast against 15 major league games. I'm sorry, I tweeted this yesterday. If you wanted me to take the futures game seriously, you have to play it when the All-Star break is going on. You have 4 days. You have Wednesday you could play the futures game, and I think fans would really get a kick out of it. But there needs to be more to this day. And I have said it repeatedly, Damon, I've said this to you for as long as I know you. If I'm not at the Home Run Derby, I'm not watching the Home Run Derby.
Seth Everett here on 95.7 The Game. How about baseball incorporating like a skills competition to its All-Star weekend? Why don't we do some sort of like the NHL skills competition? Who's got the, who hits the ball the hardest? Who can throw it the furthest? Who's got the fastest fastball? Let's have an actual game of Fungo. Instead of banning Fungo, let's play Fungo.
Right. Get a shortstop competition where, you know, these guys have to dive and, you know, let Andrew Simmons put on a showcase for everybody. I got into a fight. You'd love this. I got into a fight over direct message with the official MLB Twitter account.
Nice.
Because there was a day, it was like a Wednesday night. They tweeted 10 home run highlights in a row. And I said, you've got to be joking me. some shortstop had to have done something. There has to be some kind of an attitude where there has been something else in baseball besides a home run that makes a highlight. And I would love to see that, because that's what I think that baseball's biggest problem is that all they showcase is the thing that's kind of mundane.
I'll tell you what, one of the best highlights of the Bay Bridge series this weekend was a play that Matt Chapman made on a foul ball down the line. And it wasn't even in play. It was, you know, Rev basically said the umpire was like, forget it, that's a foul ball, and he didn't even get to make the throw to first. Just the fact he made the catch was amazing. And that's what I think needs a highlight.
Yeah, I think that's great. And like I said, there are great athletes here. Don't get me wrong. There are great athletes, and there are great young players. You know, I talked to George Springer today, you know, the Astros center fielder. He's the guy that proposed to his girlfriend right after the World Series win. And, you know, like those kinds of things I think are neat stories. But I just think that baseball lives in its own bubble. And I think that everything that's important to it, they think they know about. And I just think that, I don't know if it's focus groups or what, but I just think this is a sport that really needs to look at its demographics and look at what people are wanting, because if it's skewing as old as it sounds like and it feels like, this is a sport that this is literally in a crisis mode.
That is a fair assessment. Looking at some of the numbers, again, attendance is down. Ratings.
0.5%, that's a 15-year low. And Damon, when I worked for the league from 01 to 08, I used to get on baseball for saying, oh, we have to do another segment about another attendance record. Stop gushing all over me, I used to say. We sound like we're gushing all over ourselves. But every year from 01 to 08 that I worked for MLB Radio, they set attendance records every year, and they set attendance records every year through 2013. But something has changed, and a lot of people attribute it to the shift. A lot of people think that it's the shift. For a sport that has more strikeouts than home runs, if you eliminated the shift, meaning an imaginary line from the point of home plate to straightaway center field, before the pitch is thrown, the right fielder, the first baseman, the second baseman can't cross it. The left fielder, the third baseman, the shortstop can't cross it. If you did that, you would take 230 batting averages and suddenly make them 255. That's your missing hit, and I think that's a start. And what hitters will say, Charlie Blackman said this to me today, I want to hit the ball high because it's important, because if I hit a line drive, it's right at somebody, and he's absolutely right. And so if launch angle was created because of the shift, give baseball a fighting chance and get rid of that Bukakis shift.
Who would have ever thought that the savior of Major League Baseball might be the C&I single bleeder?
I mean, that it's crazy that what has happened. I was at lunch with, do you remember Aaron Feely, the pitcher?
Oh, totally.
Sure. So he's a scout now, and he had two of his scout friends. And one of the scout friends knew I was in the media, and there was no way he was going to tell me the team. But he said there are two teams that he's assigned to scouting that teaches on a major and minor league level that launch angle is your number one priority when you step to the batter's box. Contact is number two. And think about that for a second. That means the arc in which the bat crosses your body is more important than whether or not you touch the baseball. Is it any surprise you have more strikeouts than hits?
Seth, thank you very much. Always interesting, never a dull moment. And oh, by the way, go and try to enjoy the Home Run Derby after that, my friend.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on, bud.
Good stuff. Seth Everett, blowing the panic whistle a little bit. And again, he's a tea leaf reader. He really is. He's a guy who looks at the numbers and says, all right, where does this project? And it really does. And this is a theme that we've been on to a little bit this year. I'm projecting a future for baseball that isn't nearly as glorious as its past. And what do they do? How do they correct it? How do they bring the interest back? I think there's some very interesting stuff to discuss here. 888-957-9570. What did you think of Seth? A little too Chicken Little skies falling for you, or do you think he's on to something? That's next, along with 5 Before 5, here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Good to have you here on 95.7 The Game. Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. We're going to have a wide open 5 o'clock hour for you. We're going to be talking Bay Bridge Series. We're going to be talking about what jumps out at the break here. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Home Run Derby and that the fact Mount Davis will be open for Saturday's game. That's all coming up here. Right now, Andrew is in Fairfield. Thanks very much for the call, Andrew. What do you got?
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm just calling to kind of bring up maybe the possibility that it's the region that we're in. I lived in New England, and I went to some Red Sox games, and just the feeling of being there was completely different. I went to the Red Sox A's game where there was a no-hitter, and there was, like, barely any A's fans. There was more Red Sox fans than anything else. And I just feel like even when the Red Sox were losing up until the early 2000s, there was more fans in the stands than there is here in this area. And do you think that that's probably that – it's just there's not a lot of baseball fans in this area?
No, there are a ton of baseball fans in this area. I think the Bay Area is a decided baseball area. But I also think that you have people who – have sacrificed so much to be here. Like, we don't do second class very well on either side of the bridge. This whole notion that San Francisco is so much more expensive and bougier than Oakland is an old wives' tale. That's not that way anymore. You got to be a good earner to live here. You got to have your act together to live here and thrive successfully in any way. And the one thing that is shown to us over and over again is second-class citizen doesn't do very well. Second-class business does not do very well. Second-class – that was the mic arm, by the way. That was just me standing up here. That was nothing you need to be worried about, Gianna. That was
okay.
Second-class restaurants don't do well. Second-class food trucks don't do well. Second-class bars don't do well. Second-class NFL owners don't do well. Second-class baseball owners don't do well. Second-class baseball stadiums don't do well. Sensing a theme here?
Yeah.
Good. Damon, there's not another person in the world that feels like he has more knowledge on this matter than the guy that you just talked to. I don't know who that was. That was Seth Everett, by the way, but he was spitting some truth. Baseball's turned into one giant chess match. Nobody watches chess.
Good point.
That is a pretty damn good point, text line. Absolutely it is. Yeah, baseball's one big giant chess match. Nobody watches chess. Hard to argue with that.
Yay, yay.
And now, it's time. 5 before 5.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
How about this, Gianna? Man, Seth Everett sounded worried. Now I'm worried. See? It's a good interview.
That is a good interview. It was interesting.
Create a little panic, why don't we? I think it's well-founded concerns. It's all of his concerns are well-founded concerns. And on that note, Gianna, what you got?
Number one.
Well, since it is the All-Star break, we are going to start with a little Home Run Derby tonight, which should be getting underway here shortly. Bryce Harper with 23 home runs. Jesus Aguilar, 24 home runs from the Brewers. How much pressure is on Bryce to win in front of a home crowd tonight since it's in D.C.?
That always comes with the territory, but I think Bryce Harper's one of those make-love-to-pressure guys. I don't think it's going to, like, weigh down on him or going to be the reason why he wins or loses this. Yeah, but you're the guy. I mean, you're going to get the most amount of love. You're going to get the most amount of expectation thrown at you. Everyone wants to see the hometown guy do good. You're going to have a lot of people rooting for you. Like, I'd like to be Bryce Harper in about a half an hour from now. It sounds like a fun thing.
I think so, too. Listen to this. I don't know if you saw this. Youth is served up in this year's Home Run Derby. So the average age of all 8 participants is about 26-ish years old. 26.39, if you're going to be specific. That's the youngest field ever. None of the eight players were born when the first home run derby at the All-Star Game was held in 1985.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
So you're telling me, what year did Back to the Future come out? I always use that as a delineating line. Like, if you're not older than Back to the Future, you're still young.
You're still, okay.
So, what did Back to the Future came out in what, 85, 86? So you're telling me, yeah, 85. So every single guy in the Home Run Derby tonight is younger than Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. That makes you think. That puts it in perspective.
Number two.
All right. 64 matches, 169 goals, and 49,651 passes. World Cup is over, David.
But
it's
only,
a done deal.
Only one Argentina.
Argentina!
You played that. So France beat Croatia. What were some of the highlights of this year's World Cup? Definitely one of my favorite goals was that Andres Cantor losing
yes.
steam for the Argentina goal? I loved South Korea's call.
Oh, those were fantastic. I don't have them on my board anymore.
Good goal.
But I think my favorite audio moment from the World Cup was the Korean goal review.
That was good.
Where we had to sit with the Korean broadcasters and feel their anxiety and panic in Korean, translating it perfectly, knowing that we speak fluent instant replay review, even though we don't speak a drop of Korean.
Right.
And it was fascinating stuff. There was a segment to be had, and I believe we had that segment in there.
Yes,
so,
yes,
yeah,
that
was, a crowning achievement of the show. Congratulations, by the way. To the French.
Hernández que pasa por aquí o por allá. Va Hernández, buena pelota para Mbappé. La quiere Griezmann, Mbappé. ¡Al arco! ¡Gol!
Good stuff.
That is good stuff. Mexico beating Germany, causing a Richter scale measure.
Oh, that was fantastic.
That was good.
There was that, and I also liked when Korea went ahead and knocked out Germany with a win, and every single Mexican just went and started picking up any Korean they found. That was beautiful.
That was fun.
That was celebrate a Korean day globally
good.
for Mexico was incredible.
What was the team that had the best dance? What was that team? With the DuckTales? Senegal!
Yeah, the DuckTales! Woo!
Another really fun note is Jay-Z and Beyonce are on tour in France, and prior to their show, they did a live stream of the World Cup where France was taking on Croatia. So if you went to the concert, you got to see France, you know, take on Croatia with thousands of fans in their stadium.
That's
and
smart.
And then Jay-Z and Beyonce after that. That was pretty cool.
By the way, if you're Jay-Z, you're sitting back there like, they better win, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to walk out in front of 60,000 angry French men and women tonight. So, yeah, watch the throne and get that W.
No doubt. They did wear France's jerseys as well.
Number three.
Bandwagon.
LeBron walked into NBA Summer League wearing Lakers shorts, which were $500 Lakers shorts, by the way. He walked up and gave Ty Lue a hug, his former coach. What do you think they said to each other, Damon? Those are some nice shorts.
Maybe. I mean, if you're Ty Lue and you walk up to LeBron, you probably are like, what do I do tonight? How am I supposed to win basketball games now? If you're LeBron, did you see that the shorts he was wearing was very much biting off the shorts that Steph Curry wore to the parade?
Yeah, like his...
It looked like he had the shorts of a former jersey. The former jersey was converted into shorts.
Yeah.
And is that what's going on with this LeBron Lakers pair of shorts?
I mean, they were clearly specifically made for him, but I don't know. I'm very curious as to what went on in that brief conversation they had. And they hugged it out. That was a nice moment. It was good.
I don't think LeBron left Ty Lue. He left the other bums in Cleveland. He left Dan Gilbert. There's the embrace that would never happen that I would sort of like to see. But yeah, $500 for shorts, $40,000 on a purse. I just, come on, man. You like.
He likes to make a fashion statement.
Yeah, it's just shorts, though. Like, it's just shorts. How much of a fashion statement can you make? Like, here's the nicest compliment you could give a $500 pair of shorts. Are you ready?
Yes.
Nice shorts.
I suppose, unless someone else sees them and wants to get a pair made as well.
You can't get that much more excited than nice shorts.
Yeah, that's true.
That's it. $500 for nice shorts.
And was this the first time, Nick, he was wearing anything Lakers? that we've seen him in, you know, public.
The first green and gold sighting, or not green and gold, purple and gold.
Purple and gold sighting. Interesting.
Number four.
All right, let's talk about another NBA player we love here. Steph Curry loses a bet and takes a dip in Lake Tahoe. Did you see this?
I did.
So Steph and his dad, Dell, they both competed in the American Century Championship golf tournament this week.
Now, I believe that is a golf tournament where Trump and Stormy Daniels met.
Oh, I think you're right. Well, the duo made a side bet, the loser having to jump in the lake. Now, Steph did give his dad a 20-point handicap in the event scoring system, but only finished 18 points ahead. So Steph loses the bet. He has to jump into the lake, which is apparently cold right now, right?
Tahoe's never warm.
Right, so the water's freezing. So Steph jumps into the lake. It gets better, though. He decides to take it further and jump off a boat into the water. Can you imagine watching that video if you're like Joe Lacob or Bob Myers?
Don't slip. Don't slip.
Oh, God, don't do that.
Watch those ankles at all times. Don't land flat-footed in the water.
No, God. So the question is, China Clay or Tahoe Steph?
Oh, China Clay.
Really?
Still going
even
China
after
Clay.
This China Clay wasn't as exciting as last year's.
Doesn't matter. I didn't see any 360 DJ booth move. I didn't see failed dunk attempts on 360s as well. I gotta still go with original China Clay. It's like Glow.
You love Glow on Netflix.
The first season of Glow is phenomenal. The second season's feeling a little ham-handed at times to me.
So that's how you're comparing China Clay and Tahoe Steph?
No, it's how I'm comparing China Clay Part 1 versus
China Clay Part 2. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Fair enough. One more here, Damon.
Number five.
Numero cinco, Robin Williams. New documentary premieres on HBO tonight. I should say it's about Robin Williams. It's called Robin Williams, Come Inside My Mind. We all know that he took his life in August of 2014.
Yeah, so we were on the air that day. Yeah. We were on the air that afternoon. We were very, very sad.
I'm a huge Robin Williams fan. I'm very excited to see this and kind of learn about it. But it's got interviews with Billy Crystal, David Letterman. It premieres tonight on HBO. Are you going to watch it?
Yes.
Yeah? Are you looking forward to seeing it?
It's brilliant. An off-the-cuff spontaneity comic has ever hit the stage.
I know.
I mean, Robin Williams was an idiot savant when it came to making people laugh. I absolutely adored Robin Williams when I was a kid. I loved Mork and Mindy.
No.
Yeah. Of course I'll be watching that. And, you know, obviously Robin Williams is forever beloved here. They renamed the Waldo Tunnel after him, which I did not like.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Robin Williams was a really good comedian. You go ahead and look up Waldo's history. He basically opened and invented the state of California.
Like, so maybe we could have kept it the Waldo Tunnel. That's what connects Marin to the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah. But, you know, Robin Williams is beloved for all the right reasons and is sadly missed for all the wrong reasons. And it's another example of like, hey, how's your mental health? You can be laughing on the outside and crying on the inside. You really can. So very, very sad. I will certainly be watching that
documentary. And it isn't like a, you know, this is your life. It goes through like his comedic mind, which is cool.
I'm really looking forward to it. I got that already set on the DVR to tape. It's officially now our 5 o'clock hour. And I like that. If you would.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.